thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Wole, Ray Jeezy, Will T. What's going on, fellas?
All right, go ahead.
What's going on, Will?
Nothing much. How you doing, man?
I'm good, bro. You know what I'm saying? Football's here, man. Aren't you excited? Oh, well, you're not excited. You was watching basketball. Though, right?
Like I told you, man, I'm a diehard basketball fan, so I was watching Game 6 of the Clippers versus the Denver Nuggets.
Oh, man, it was a great game, man. They better not choke. It's Game 7 tonight. They better not choke. But, subscribe.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm looking forward to it, man.
Me too, man.
I'm excited about that.
Me too, man. It's a lot of pressure on Kawhi and company to do the darn thing for real. They brought in the mega powers. Now it's time to come correct for real. All right. We're also part of Sports Journey.
You got the right coach, though.
What happened?
I'm back.
I
said they got the right coach.
Yo, my bad.
Go ahead, man. You ain't asked me, though, but it's all good.
I'm a bad. I didn't know you were on. My bad. I was trying to make sure you were good. That's all. I was stalling time.
Okay.
Hey, I mean, what's your opinion, Ray? I'm sorry. Ray, what is your opinion?
I'm just saying that the Clippers have the right coach to close the deal. That's it. Go ahead, bro.
And we're also part of Sports Journey. Make sure you check us out at sportsjourney.com. You'll find all kinds of sports content, especially for your DMV sports teams. Subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes, and Google Play. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Also, join our Urban Sports Scene Facebook group. Search Urban Sports Scene, sports bloggers, sports podcasters, and sports debates. Will T.,
let's get into our tradition, the pregame.
Here's what we have on tap. We are expanding our PG Baller series to the DMV, the whole DMV. We'll wrap with DC's Woodrow Wilson High School boys basketball coach Angelo Hernandez. At 8:25, we'll talk about the Washington football team's victory over the Philadelphia Eagles 27-17. At 8:38, we'll preview the Washington football team's next game against the Arizona Cardinals. At 8:48, we'll talk about the NBA playoffs. Finally, we'll make our week 2 NFL picks and survivor picks. Will T's acting real Nigerian. We'll get into that at the end of the show. Hey, Ray, first, can you introduce our... Hey, Ray, could you introduce our guest?
Absolutely, man. It's always a privilege. So our next guest hails from a city that has produced some of the most prominent names in basketball, from Wilt Chamberlain and Earl the Pearl Monroe to today's Kyle Lowry. Yes, I'm talking about Philadelphia, PA, where he attended and played his high school basketball at Overbrook High School, which is the same institution that produced the aforementioned Wilt Chamberlain. During his time at Overbrook, he would become a member of the varsity basketball team as a freshman. And while he found success on the court, it appears that his experiences away from basketball helped to shape his future and greatly contribute to the man he is today. After becoming ineligible his senior year in high school, our guest basketball journey would take a few twists and turns that ultimately resulted in him landing at North Carolina A&T State University. There, he became a four-year starter, and despite reportedly having professional basketball opportunities, he eventually found his way to the nation's capital, becoming the head coach of the junior varsity basketball team at Woodrow Wilson High School. Fast forward over a decade, our guest currently serves as head man for Wilson's varsity basketball team. And over the past 5-plus years, he's amassed numerous victories, multiple DCIAA championships, and produced a multitude of D1 talent. Additionally, he is arguably his most important job as pathways coordinator, where he helps to ensure the academic success of students at one of the district's best educational institutions. He's also a coach for Team Durant. Welcome in his first appearance to the Urban Sports Scene, Coach Angelo Hernandez. What's good, Coach?
Not much, man. I appreciate that introduction, man. That was pretty good, man. That's summed me up, man. I like that.
I mean, Ray's the GOAT at that,
hey,
man.
That's what I've been doing lately.
Yeah,
man.
Ray's the GOAT. He's the GOAT when it comes to intros, man. Real talk.
I see, man. I might have to get him to the games. Man. Get an introduction like that, man.
Like, hey, anytime, man. I'll have me, bro.
I've only gave me that kind of credit.
Well, I appreciate you guys having me on, man.
Oh, no. No, we appreciate you being on the show. I got a real serious question for you, like real serious. All right, here you go. Like, are you from Philly? All right, what's the best Philly cheesesteaks at, man? What's the best? What's the best?
Oh, man. Oh, man. People will fight me on it, man. But, you know, a lot of people that are from out of town, they'll say Geno's or Pat's or one of those, but a lot of people don't eat from there.
Yeah.
Eat in the vicinity now has been more so in Max's and things like that. I'm still a big, let me not say the wrong thing here. No, serious, man. I'm still a big Larry's fan. Like, there's Larry's, to me, has the best steaks. And even Ishka Bibbles.
Yeah, there you go. Real cheese, Ishka Bibbles.
From St. James. yeah, man. Real cheese, man. But Larry's, I have more because where it's located at, it's near Overbrook High School as well, not too far. Right by St. Joe's University, which is literally across the street. So it's always been like right there. So it's like, go get one from there. So it would be between those two, man.
Awesome. Yeah, I like Ishka Bibbles. That's my spot. You know, somebody put me on to it. I went to Geno's once and I was not impressed. I was like, I can get a carry out steak and cheese just as good. But then when I went to Ishka Bibbles, I knew
you can't call it a steak and cheese, man.
I know. They get mad at me. I know, bro. I know, man. I know. I can't help it.
That's how people gonna know you from out of town.
I know, man. Steak
with lettuce, tomatoes, nah, man. They get a cheesesteak, fried onions. Don't put the ketchup, mayonnaise, all that, man.
I got educated real fast. I was like, my man was like, what are you doing? I was like, hey, bro, my bad. All right. So you are being from Philly. Like, what? How did you get here to DC to coach a high school basketball team?
Interesting situation, man. Of how I got here. Mm-hmm. So. I got here basically, so, you know, just to touch base on it, how I really got here, man. Mm-hmm. I was 20 years old back in Philly. I remember it. No, I was 19. I was 19, about to turn 20. Or was I 18? Whatever I was. I was something. I was 18, about to turn 19. And I was a senior. I was a senior in high school. My mom was sick. So I took a year off. I didn't even finish high school right away.
Oh, wow.
I was 19 going to 20. And I decided to go back to this little school they had, night school, so I can get my high school diploma. And, the day, July 25th, 2003, which is the day I graduated from high school.
Mm-hmm.
And the day my mom died.
Oh, wow.
And so, I wasn't thinking about no college, to be honest. I was working. I was like, I got to help at home and do this and do that. When she died, it kind of opened my eyes. And my godparents was like, you should go to school. I was still playing ball. I remember the coach from Clinton Junior College, who's now the head coach at South Carolina State, Murray Garvin. He was recruiting me, and he was at Clinton Junior College in Rock Hill, South Carolina. And so 18 days later, man, I packed up all my stuff. My cousin, my god brother, and one of my best friends, we rented a minivan, and we drove to South Carolina, man. They dropped me off, and they left me down there, man.
Oh, wow.
But it was the hardest time of my life down there. Mm. Hardest time of my life. If anybody knows about JUCOs, about 75 kids, that, and dorms. And so I just couldn't find my way. I was seeing a psychologist every morning at 6 a.m., to deal with, you know, my mom passing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then I had a girlfriend who went to North Carolina A&T, man. And that's how I got there. So I followed that. And I didn't know I was going to play ball no more, to be honest. But my best friend went there, too. And they let him try out for the team, man. And I was like, hold up. I'm better than you.
I knew
the only way possible to do is going to make the team. And I'm not. So... my girlfriend actually talked to the coach for me, and at the time, got me a tryout, and the rest is history, man. I came in, I started playing ball again, working out, started my 4 years, decided because I have brothers at home, younger brothers, that I wasn't going to go overseas and play ball. I didn't get to start my life. So my cousins live here in Maryland, and they told me that I'd come here, and live rent-free for a year and get myself together. And then I had to figure it out. So I came here to the Aggie Alumni Association. One of my assistant principals, one of the assistant principals at the time, went to North Carolina A&T. I was on the little boards. I was looking for jobs everywhere. I found a substitute teacher job, man. And I met a lot of good people, man, at Wilson High School. And they took me under their wing. And I've been there ever since. They all gone. And I'm the only person left. But, you know, I walked into a situation where it was perfect for me. One of my best friends was the head coach there as well. Well, he became my best friend. He's now the head coach at Anacostia. And he asked me, did I just want to do skill development? And so I did skill development. I saw that the kids were taking to me. They were listening. And I was like, man, I might have a thing for this. So the rest is history, man. That's how I got here to Maryland. That's how I got here to D.C., Maryland, Virginia, because I live in Maryland. So that's how I got here, though.
That's amazing, man. Hey, just thank you for opening up and sharing, you know, the discussion about mental health. It continues and it's growing because of some prominent folks, some guys that many look up to. I'll just throw the typical names out there, like the Kevin Loves of the world. Even Kyrie Irving has opened up a bit. DeMar DeRozan. So, man, just thank you, man, and sorry for your loss, but it's a blessing to see where you come from and how you got there. Just want to ask real quick before we continue to just discussing your coaching career, just what I read about you as a player, when you watch a guy like Dame just come across half court, pull up, does that remind you of your playing day?
You know, it always does, man, because in high school, I remember my freshman year, I used to get a little bit of minutes because we were really good. And my sophomore year, I remember I never dribbled. Like, where I was standing, I'm like, I'm not getting close to the 3-point line, man. I'm not coaching to shoot the ball. And so I was damn near half court. And I remember the dude, I still talk to him to this day, he used to cover basketball up here, Amaro Austin. And that's where they call me, you know, they used to call me the parking lot bomber because I literally crossed half court and I would not dribble my first 2 years of high school. And I was just making shots and I didn't know how the hell I was doing it. Mm-hmm. I just was really just shooting the ball and it would go in, man. It was so high in the air that, you know, it would go in at a high rate. So I had a lot of success with that, man. So I see it now, I'm like, he's shooting it like it's nothing. I felt the same way, man. I tell these kids all the time, man. You ain't got to do 30 dribbles.
Facts. That's amazing. Facts. You don't got to do 30 dribbles. Facts. You don't have to do 30 dribbles. That is fact.
So Angelo, 12 years, around 12 years ago, I should say, you were an assistant coach to former Wilson coach, Andre Williams. What did he mean to you in terms of, you know, your coaching craft and how, you know, you guide your team today?
Man, he the reason I got into this. Man, I thank him every day. Like I said, I talk to him every day. That's my best friend, man. We talk about things that, like, he brought me into this. I didn't know I wanted to do this, to be honest. I'm like, wow. I just left from being coached under Jerry Eaves, and I don't know if you know who he is, but played at Louisville, All-American, in the NBA, all that stuff. And I tell you, he was hard on us. I mean, and every coach is, but he wanted so much out of us. So I was tired. I was a knucklehead. So I was tired of getting yelled at. I'm like, I can't do this. I can't yell at these kids. But I saw that I didn't have to yell. And they were taken to me by a different type of teaching because when I was at A&T, I got a bachelor's in psychology. So I really am focused on mental health and how the mind works and how it, you know, how it operates. And so I kind of used that in my coaching. You know, I play chess. My favorite saying is I play chess, not checkers. Like, outthink the opponent or outthink the other coach. And sometimes I'm successful and sometimes I'm not. But at the end of the day, I feel good about myself and I feel good about where the kids are in their development. So he is the reason that I stayed here in Washington, D.C. I don't know what else to say. Like, the dude, he put me in a situation where I was able to grow. Not just as an assistant coach, I was in charge of everything. I was almost like a head coach. Like, I made it easy so he didn't have to do nothing but coach basketball. And that's how all assistant coaches should be. You know, from morning workouts to late night workouts to study halls to, you know, traveling. He wanted me to coach with an AAU team, a small AAU team, which was just because that's what he wanted me to do. So I did it. And, you know, it worked out in our favor and in my favor. And so, like I said, Andre Williams, man, a big, big, if 90% of the reason that I'm into coaching.
Wow. Coach Angelo, I have a question for you. You took us through your early life story, and you kind of talked about how you got your psychology degree from A&T. What's the biggest, I guess, value or light or what's the biggest value or what's the biggest? I'm trying to think. what? From your trials and tribulations, what's the biggest? What has impacted you the most and helped you connect with your players?
Most of my players come from what I come from, and that's how, like, that's why I get up every day. People don't know my real job. Well, you read some of it. You know, it's like the athlete coordinator is a big role in the schools of taking a group of kids and following them through high school and making sure they're in the right classes and making sure that they can think and they have someone that they can trust and go to and think and talk to. So for me, knowing how they think, like, I know my kids, like, I know some of them worry about how they're going to eat or what they're going to wear or, you know, what people think about them socially. And I used to be the same way. So I know how it is. Like, I know how it is from in high school to where before we got uniforms in 10th grade, I used to wear the same jeans, like, maybe like 10 days in a row, like, you know, wear the same shoes for a year. And people would talk about me and do this and do that, not be able to get a haircut until I was in 11th grade, or not even know what grooming myself was because I don't know my father. Mm. So, like, a lot of those things, like, I can really relate to the kids. And while all of them are not like that, 90% of them come from homes, maybe that's a single parent, or maybe that just doesn't have a lot. And those are the type of the kids that I love to work with because, again, we relate so well. And they may not know my story, but I figure out their story. And I get them to believe in what I'm teaching them or believe in what I'm telling them. And then show them little parts of my, you know, like I go back home a lot and play in Philadelphia. And I take them past where I used to live and show them the high school that I played at and the neighborhood it's in.
Oh,
and so
dope.
I want them to understand, like, yeah, I know what you're going through. So I really do, but I don't want to give it all to them at once because kids won't believe that. But like, Coach, you lying. You over there telling all this. You ain't done nothing. People don't understand that. And these kids, they won't believe you until they see it. And so, you know, not only did I get a bachelor's, I got a master's in psychology because I really only got my master's so that I could help kids. But I had to refocus myself and figure out, like, let me figure out again why I'm doing this and why coaching is so important in these athletes' lives. Because, you know, coaching is teaching and mentoring and the bringing up of these kids. These parents cannot raise kids on their own. They take a village. And they see me more than their parents. And I tell them all the time, anything you preaching, I'm preaching. Now, we might have different conversations because they may trust me more because I'm not going to respond the way you respond. But trust and believe, we having the same conversation and the same outcome I want. And so that's kind of, for me, been the reason that I stay in this and the reason I get up every day and go to work.
I have a follow-up question off of something you just said that was kind of was interesting to me. You've built these genuine bonds with these players coaching high school. As these players progress and go to college, because the way that the college system is set up, do you think coaches on that level are able to genuinely build those same bonds just because of all the NCAA regulations and when it comes to coaching? And because some of the more talented players also are likely to leave early?
I look at it as there's coaches that are out here that are hard workers, and they do their job to the best of their ability. And then there's some that know what it takes to go overboard, meaning, like, you got to go above and beyond to build relationships. It's just not going to take a phone call. It's just not going to take a text message. You know, knowing what the kids like, you guys did research on me and found information. Mm-hmm. Do some of these coaches really actually do their job? Do I think it hurts somewhat? I don't think so. I think that the coaches actually have to work harder now and have to, like, really focus on other players that they necessarily wouldn't focus on. And I think it's giving people a fair shake because there is no basketball. So all you got to go on is people's words, what you see from videos sometimes, and then, you know, these scouting reports. I tell people all the time, the writers get the college coaches interested. It's not – college coaches just don't show up. They get stuff every day about kids in the area or kids in this area, and that's how they know about you, and that's how they find you. And I remember it. That's how they found me. And, you know, when Towson was recruiting me back in the day or St. Joe's or whatever school that I could have entertained if I'd have had the grade to go to. So I think this is because, like, I believe that some kids have got overlooked in the past. I think this whole COVID situation has shed some light and say that we actually need to look at the way we recruit and figure out there are some good players that can be developed. We don't need necessarily all the superstars, you know, because, I mean, they're already set. They know where they're going. Like, people can say what they want. And now that the G League is involved, where the top players going now?
Yeah.
So now you need to look at the under the top 10 and figure out, can they play here? And so now they get down to the bottom of it, in the top 300 instead of the top 150 or the top 160. And even farther than that, top 500, you know. So I think this has actually helped in the recruiting aspect. I mean, I always talk to coaches, but I've had so many more in-depth conversations because they actually have to know more about these kids because they can't see them. So, and to, you know, it's sort of like the relationships with women, right? Like, I look at it like, if you had a relationship with a woman where you can only talk to her to get to know her, would you be able to do it? Would you still date her afterwards?
Very good question.
And
very good question.
Best relationships come out of that, right? And so that's what these coaches got to do. They don't have a choice. They got to build a relationship. Well, guess what? It's not going to work. And then, you know, but I do think it can hurt sometimes because if they make a wrong decision, they're going to lose their job. So. I think it's 50-50 right now.
You're right.
Man, there's so many ways we could go with that.
He's right, though. Just like a woman. You can lose your life with a woman.
Like, yeah, it's crazy. Obviously, it's hard connecting with the – well, no, I don't think it's hard, but there's some challenges that we're facing right now just trying to connect with one another, let alone, you know, children. And just based on what I do in the community, man, I see it all the time where – you know, even before the pandemic, kids were seeking emotional support, some experiencing suicidal thoughts. So I just hope and I believe, just based on what you're saying, that you continue to do your best to support these kids during this difficult time, man, where, you know, things are uncertain in many ways. And I know, especially from a basketball standpoint, man, the seniors, you know, I say all the time on this show, I feel for them. But sort of sticking with basketball, I wanted to ask, you've had sponsorships now with Wilson. Obviously, you traveled. That's a big part of building your program. But what are you most proud about to this point as being a head coach and what you've accomplished thus far?
One of my most proud accomplishments, man, are always, you know, one thing about is my son. Like, you know, my son was born 5 years ago, and he's been in every aspect of when I started coaching. He's been there. Like, he's been there. He was there for the first championship, the second one, the third one. And even when Nike came about, like, I feel like he's my good luck charm, and he's making things work. And, you know, he makes me mad now, right? So we have conversations, and he's like, Dad, because we lost this year to Gonzaga. He's like, Dad, the Gonzaga Eagles are better than y'all. I say, yo, get out of here.
Like, oh.
Get out of here, man. Oh. He'll keep saying it. He'll say it in public. It's fun, you know what I'm saying? Because he reminds me, he keeps me reminded, it keeps me grounded. Like, I got work to do, you know? So that's one of my most proud moments. But my second one, man, is to see the kids actually believe in what I say and be ready to play college basketball when they get there. Like, that to me, when I look at the first group I started with the first group was Isaiah Jennings, right? He's at Claflin University now. He just signed a scholarship there. He was at Montgomery College. Took a little bit longer for him to get there, but he averaged about 30 points a game at Montgomery. And he was a 6'2 power forward in high school. Unstoppable on the boards and unstoppable down low. Stayed with it, man. Signed a full scholarship to Claflin University, and I'm excited about that. And then you move on to the other kids like Allende Hakeem at LaSalle, mm-hmm. and Ricky Lindo was at Maryland and now at GW. Just Josiah Marable, who's at Morgan State, and had, you know, is going to play this year as a freshman. You know, Jay Heath at Boston College, like, came in as a freshman, averaged 13 points in the ACC. Like, that's unheard of coming from Wilson High School. Dominguez Stevens, before he just, you know, decided to leave us, had, like, his career turned around when he got to Wilson. Now he's up at Seton Hall preparing for that season.
Wow.
You know, the twins went to Maryland, and down at Rhode Island, and having the time of their lives. Mm. Like, you know, got cleared to play this year. You know, and they fell in my lap. But they fell in my lap because of the way I coach. Like, people think I'm out here doing all this recruiting, and I'm like, I don't have to, because Wilson is going to recruit for itself. The stuff we do, the people we put in college, like the opportunities that you get, the stage that I put them in. Like, we don't duck no bump. We go play. We go to Florida, play City of Palms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we play DeMasa. We play Gonzaga, St. John's.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, don't matter to me. Whoever you are, like, because I'm looking at it like, if you got a good team and we play you, then that's more opportunities for my kids to get looked.
Yeah.
So why not play?
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people don't think like that, you know, and they worried about the brand and this and that. Well, I wasn't worried about the brand, man. I was worried about, you know, how can I get Nike to come in and really take a look at my program? Because I believe that's the highest of the highest. That's just my belief and my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And when they came in, I said, I must be doing something right, so I ain't gonna never change the blueprint. So that's kind of my proudest two moments right there. I had to give you two, man.
It's all good. I appreciate it. You're listening to the Urban Sports Team right now. We are talking to Woodrow Wilson High School boys basketball coach Angelo Hernandez, and you just mentioned a number of players. Allende, I think he's tough, man. And I actually seen his video at LaSalle, kind of an introduction almost. When he got there, I thought that was dope. So with that being said, we're going to put you on the spot again. And I don't know how you're going to answer this. But what's the most talented kid that you think you coach? Or give us somewhere in the top five. That's a hard one, I know.
Don't try to set me up here, man.
Hey, man.
Try to set me up, man. You want me to answer now?
I mean, you get the political. Yeah. You get the political answer. You know what I'm saying? You can do PC answer. You want to top five?
Can
no
I just
order.
Say real quick, you seem so cool on the phone, man. But you be working in refs on that sideline, man. Dang, I'm surprised you don't get more
text. I use my psychology, man. I know what to say and what not to say. I know how much to bother them and the tone I need to bother them in. And I do mess with them too much, but I'm so passionate about it. And I love this sport. And I want them to work as hard as me. And sometimes I feel like they're not, which I know they have the toughest job in the world. I actually reffed a game the other day.
That's tough.
Against two high-level teams.
It's so tough.
And I was like, yo, man, I can't do this no more. These refs, these people, they yelling at me. Your parents yelling at me.
Yeah.
I can't do it. So that's something I'm working on, man. And I'm going to get better at it. But to answer your question, are we talking just high school?
Yeah, high school.
Say what you feel. You can put level psychology on us if you want.
Yeah, high school.
There you go.
Yeah.
Any level you coach.
Yes, sir. Well, I've only coached for Team Durant, and I've only coached at Wilson. Those are my highest levels.
Okay.
But I have coached at Elite 100 camp.
Oh, wow.
Nike Elite 100 camps, where I was a coach, so that counts.
That counts.
If I had to say, and my people that are probably listening,
my coaches that were there with me are probably going to be biased. Jonathan Kuminga and Chet Holmgreen Jalen Johnson. I would have to say Jonathan Kuminga, man. My most talented player that I've ever coached at any level would be Jonathan Kuminga, man. I've coached him for 2 years straight at Elite 100 because he was able to come there as a freshman, which is usually not allowed. And yeah, he got pause. He got everything you need, pause. Right? So that would be the guy. I can't give you one at Wilson because, man, everybody does something different, man. And, if I put them all in the gym now, I don't know how those games look. Like, everybody's gotten better. But I do plan on doing an alumni game, and it's going to be fun. It's going to be high level, and it's going to be fun, man. So, that would be my guy.
You're the first coach on this show to ever answer that question. Everybody else gives us a runaround. Like, look, I coach a bunch of nice guys. You know what I'm saying? They give us the PC answer. So I appreciate that. So that's a first one, by the way. On the flip side, is anybody that you can think of that stands out in your mind that was really good who you coached against and gives you fits, a talented kid on the opposing team?
Woo! Fits. Fits. Oh, man. Let me think about that real quick. Fits on the opposing team. We just couldn't do nothing with them. Earl Timberlake from DeMatha. I think that, you know, we played DeMatha, man. He's a mismatch nightmare. And while we had people that could probably have guarded him, because he plays so many positions, it's like you got to throw so many different players at him. Mm. And I think that might have been one of the hardest matchups that I had to coach against. And so, of course, there's always that if anybody watched that game, we should be in a double overtime right now. But it is what it is. But that kid right there is probably the kid that I would say gave us. Him and Jared Bynum. Jared Bynum at Georgetown Prep, man, is he kind of – oh, and see, man, it's so many, man. Gave us fits at Georgetown, man. We was up, too. We had him, man, but Likes is Chris Likes, man. So I would say out of those three guys, man, maybe, you know, Chris Likes was probably one of the hardest people to guard in the game.
All right, so in your alumni game, Coach, are you going to play? Are you going to play in the alumni game?
probably not, man, because, these kids are, they good.
I know, man.
Kyle, they working every day, working out every day. I'm like, yeah. Man, we play one-on-one sometimes, and I'm like, man, he's faster than me now. Man, let me back up. How am I guarding him? So, you know, it's tough, man, but I do got some good matchups. The Allende versus the Jay, and the Ricky versus Makai, and the Mikhail versus Scott. I got some good matchups, man. Mm. Some really good matchups. So I'll invite you guys out and check it out.
I bet.
Please do, man.
Good. Because we've put out some talent in the last couple 10 years. Last 10 years, man. Yeah. I would say Josh Hart, too. Man, I'm thinking back when I was an assistant coach, man. Josh Hart gave us fits at Sidwell. And had about 35 points on him.
Sidwell dropped that game win on y'all. We've been watching that on YouTube before we had you on.
That was tough. No, real talk, that was tough. That hurt me.
The most memorable.
That hurt me. I'm not going to lie. That hurt me.
The most memorable games is the ones that you actually lose sometimes, unfortunately, man. Like, I don't even think y'all shook hands. That's what got me. I'm like, damn, they just rolled out.
We shook hands. That was St. John's. We didn't shake our hands. We shook hands with Sidwell. It was a great game, man. It was. They hit two of them, man. It was like, it was meant for them that night.
I know,
like,
man.
We couldn't do nothing about it, man. It was a great game. And that's what people want to see.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do I want to win? Absolutely. But you think about it, the kid on the other team didn't have any offers before that game started.
Oh, where?
Wow. Jason Gibson.
And
after that game, you know, Towson comes around and another school comes around. And now he's up at Towson doing his thing. And they ain't won him at first. You know, not that they didn't want him, but you know, like people didn't want to take a chance on him. I'm like, this kid has been the most consistent kid in our area as far as scoring the ball and being a team player and doing it on a nightly basis. So it works out for people, man. Kid to hit the shot, man. I just want to shake his hand again, man. I just want to shake his hand again and say, you know, good game.
Man, I don't know if I would have did
tell
that.
You, it's so much we got to come. We got to have you back on again, man, because obviously with COVID going on, that's a whole discussion in itself as to how you're managing with the kids. You just got a lot of irons in the fryer. But to get ready to wrap up real quick, I know you touched on it briefly. Just what's it like being on the AAU scene? How long have you been doing that? And just, you know, what's your role been? And how is that benefiting you overall as a coach?
Oh, it's been great, man. I've been working my way to be on both levels as an elite high school and work with an elite tribal team.
Mm-hmm.
Like I told you, I started with a not mom and pop, but like just a local AAU team. It's called Team Chaos. Mm-hmm. And it was with Tony Wilson and a lot of other people, Regina Wilson. And, you know, we started there. We had really good players like Andre Fox and Ponte. We had good players. Tawan Kennard, you know, that was playing with the Wizards for a minute. He was on our team.
Mm.
And so I started there, then I went and did my own thing because I figured out a blueprint. And then I went to work with Keith Williams with the Blue Devils, with DC Blue Devils. Mm. I was running their middle school program for 1 year. And then I took a year off to get my mind together because I just felt like I was doing way too much. And Wilson was at a point where I needed to focus on Wilson because we were moving in a direction where I wanted to move, especially with players. And then I had a conversation with Team Durant, man. And like those, the minds that the way they thought was the way I think. And that's why it worked. And so I'm in my second year coaching E16, which is the 16U. Actually, I just finished my second year. And I was... The first year I was just the head coach of the team. Last year, after the season ended, they made me the director of recruiting for the team.
Wow, that's dope.
And then this year, I'm the director of high school. And that just happened yesterday. So, you know, it's been a blessing to be able to be around those minds. And a lot of guys like Kevin's father, Wayne, Mike Powell, who's at Carroll. And Osmond Bangor, who's at Carroll, but he's been around the PVIs on the college level, a lot of different places. And then there's so many other guys that are there that, like, we come together and we can making some noise. And that's kind of what we aimed out to do. And I think we're doing it the right way and making kids' lives a little bit easier for them on that level because people think it's so easy to coach talent, but so they have to coach it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they don't want to know what to do. They think it's just throwing them out on the court. You're not going to win every game off talent. You actually got to coach these kids and put them in place. And some of these talented kids want to be coached, and they're not. So that's a whole nother conversation, and I won't go into that. But, yeah, it's been an exciting journey with Team Durant, man. It's the UIBL, best of the best. Best league in the world as far as grassroots. And I've been on all three. Like, to me, just the presentation of it to the players every night where you're playing against somebody that's equal or even better than you every night. So there's no game off. There's nothing. So it's been definitely an exciting time and, you know, look forward to continuing it.
So everything you're saying, it just validate our thinking. I'm saying our thinking, meaning our show, that you're prepared to at some point move on to next level coaching in college. Obviously, you mentioned you haven't been, I think, shy about it. That's something that's a goal of yours. So just briefly tell us, you know, what's your plans and how much is that playing into your thought process now, you know, considering all that you got going on?
You know, that is a goal. That was a goal when I first started, maybe a couple years in. I mean, not say when I first started because I didn't know what I wanted to do. But for me, it's just about building relationships. Like, if I have relationships with these coaches and they see my worth and they see that I can offer something that could possibly help them, and it's based off of my work, not a kid or anything like that, then I'm all for it. If I never have to leave from coaching high school basketball or being around the AAU level, I'm okay with that too. But again, like if I could get there, I would definitely go and coach college because I think that I have the drive and the passion, and my best quality is building relationships. And that, you know, that's kind of kept me at the forefront, you know, of being able to, you know, talk with kids because, again, I meet them where they're at. I don't care what level of basketball you're playing. You have another side to you. Mm-hmm. And that side is the side that I tap into. And you being a kid, like, I don't care if you 5-star, 16-stars, or 1-star. You have a side that nobody knows or that you know. And then when somebody taps into it, then the relationship really builds. And so for me, that's the same thing. That's what college coaches should do. That's what some of the best are doing. And that's why they get the talent. And that's why they win. And that's why they're able to keep their jobs, even at the small schools. I look at how North Carolina A&T is right now. And and Will Jones there, and having Blake Harris and Clee Parker, and you know those type of guys, they have a lot more, and they're getting transfers in. Shoot, Blake came from NC State, and to go to A&T, like
wow,
and Clee came from Tennessee.
Mm.
Yep. So you know, absolutely, when you see stuff like that, you see and you build relationships with these guys. And if you can do it, it can be done. And so I look at that, and I look at Wilson, and I'm like, well, me and Coach have the same mindset. So I understand what he's doing. So, you know, it's just if I can get there, I will happily, like, entertain it. But it's just got to be the right fit for me. Like, I like to be used for what I have. Like, don't get me and not use me. That's what I need to do.
So, Coach,
yeah, I appreciate you pointing out because we all graduates of HBCU, and the movement has started, and it started, you know, before McCormaker, but that's a whole nother discussion, like I said.
Absolutely. It sure is, man. So, definitely, you know, like I said, I appreciate you guys having me on and all of that. Like, you know, I'm always open to doing stuff like this, man, because a lot of people, I'm not from here, so a lot of people don't know, like, they don't know my backstory. They think I had a silver spoon, and I'm here to tell them I ain't never had a spoon. Mm. Like, some days I ain't have a spoon at all. So, you know, it's a story in everything that I do.
So I do have an extra question for you.
Ask you before you go ahead.
I do have a question for you because you have such a fascinating story in terms of how you relate to kids, and you kind of remind me of, like, the way you're speaking of, like, the late, great John Thompson. Did you ever get an opportunity to meet Coach John Thompson?
I met him.
Okay.
Grandson actually goes to Wilson High School.
Okay.
He actually plays for me.
Okay.
Ronnie Thompson's son, Dylan. And, you know, last year was the first year. So it was kind of getting to know each other. And I met Big John a couple times just in passing. We never really had an in-depth conversation.
Gotcha. Okay.
About it, about anything. But, you know, from watching his work, I know, and that's where I got some of the stuff from anyway. You know, watching what he did with Allen Iverson and Victor Page and a ton of other guys. But those guys stood out to me, you know, more because of, you know, one, where they came from and, you know, like what he had to do to help them be who they were and get to where they wanted to be. So, you know, a lot of stuff a lot of people don't know it, and they think when I go to games, I'm looking at players. When I'm really not, I'm looking at coaches. Like, how can this coach help me get better? I look at any type of coach, a young coach, an older coach, a mature coach, whoever. How can I get better from him? What can I take from him and add to what I already have? And that's how I get better. And so, you know, it's the constant learning thing. And yeah, so John Thompson has really been, like, a focal point of mine to watch his work from back in the day and see what, you know, what I can take and do with what I have now. So,
okay. So you've been real, like, modest though, too. Like, you haven't even talked about your championships you won. Like, can you talk about the championships you won?
those were great feelings, man, for the kids, for me, like, but the kids put in a lot of work, man, because the year before we won the first championship, man, and I tell you, like, we were taking 40 free throws a game, and we just couldn't make them. Mm. And that's how we were losing games. And I'm like, this can't be life. Like, these kids can't make free throws. What are we doing here? Mm-hmm. So when I saw the work that they were willing to put in to improve, and if you go back and watch this, the 2017, which was the first championship,
first one. Mm-hmm.
I had a bunch of guys that nobody wanted. Mm. Like, nobody knew who they were. And that's when Ayinde Hakeem had his rising. And then the next year, Ricky Lindo and Josiah. And then Jay Heath comes in, Dominguez Stevens. And now we're talking about national stage. And then the next year, the Twins add to Jay Heath and Dominguez Stevens and Carlos. Like, so, you know, to win those championships, that was a great feeling. We won our first one when I was 33 years old. And then, you know, it was 33 years before that that Dave Wilson had won their first championship. And so I felt like I was part of the school. I felt like I was part of history that was made at the school. So those were great feelings, man. But like I always say, man, the greatest feeling is for our kids to be recognized, to have 50 or maybe, you know, to have over 100 coaches come in the gym throughout the season to see our guys. That's what's more exciting than winning a championship, man, because they get an opportunity. When a scholarship offer comes through, that's about $60,000 a year or 70 that they're offering to you. You know, of course, it's year to year, and if we do the math, about 240 for 4 years. So I'm excited that someone is coming in and offering a scholarship to these guys, and it's happening at Wilson High School, so... Those championships are great, but the better feeling is for those coaches to come in and recognize what we're doing. Winning solves everything, though. I'll tell you that.
Sure does. Winning is great. I noticed that you use social media as a platform to like get some of the information out there for some of your kids in terms of like tapes or highlight reels. Like, can you talk about the importance of social media for what you do?
It's what the kids do. Like, people, you know, people ask me for my philosophy, and I'm like, well, you know, it depends on what day it is or what year it is. Like, because it changes, it has to change. It can't be. Now, you can have a foundation, but your philosophy has to change. And so social media is what the kids are into. Like, they're on TikTok and IG, and the kids aren't even on Facebook anymore. So, you know, when people say we're going to promote on Facebook, I'm like, man, what decade you in? And so it's funny because I said that to my coach in our meeting the other day. I said, yo, we got to get something on Facebook. And he's like 27. Mm. He's like, coach, ain't no damn Facebook, man. These kids ain't on Facebook. What you talking about? He's like, there's IG. These kids are on IG. These kids are on Twitter. And so let's use that. This was like maybe 6 years ago. And so that is a big part of our program, because if coaches can't get to the gym always, so we don't just want to reach 100. We want to reach 1,000.
Mm.
And it doesn't matter if it's D3, D2, D1, JUCO, NAIA, whatever it is. We want you to see what we're putting out. And if we can make your job easier, then at the time, because, you know, at the time, you know, they weren't really focused on us. So, you know, I used to send spreadsheets out to coaches before they got good. Say, hey, coach, check these kids out. These kids are at Wilson High School. Like, check them out. This is what he does well. This is what he doesn't do well. Here's a link to his film. So social media is almost the best thing to do. And, you know, that's where we, you know, you see a lot more guys doing it now. But when we did it starting 6 years ago, we knew what we were trying to do. We knew what we were trying to accomplish. And it's like the wave. This is what they do. Like, this is what kids are on. So if you can't meet them there, then you better find somebody who can do it and put them on your staff, because it's a hard road if you don't. You're like, why are my kids not getting recruited? Well, no social media, no recruitment. I'm going to tell you that, you know, unless you're at one of the schools that have a name already. Mm-hmm. So for us, we didn't have a name yet. And so we had to do certain things. And so why stop? Like, why stop? Why change a plan that works? And that's what we've been doing. Social media is it's almost like if you have a program, you have to use it.
Like, you're basically already running a college program. That's amazing. And at a public high school, to do all that and have that type of rollout and plan to recruit, to help kids out too, to be honest with you, and to feature them. That's amazing.
Absolutely.
That's real good work.
At a public school.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? That's amazing.
Man, absolutely, man. I model my program, and I'm proud to say it, after the best. I always thought the best was the master high school.
Mm.
No knock to other programs.
Mm-hmm.
When I first started coaching, that's all I knew. And so to watch the factory that was coming out of there, because my cousin went there, so I was able to go up there and watch him play freshman basketball and then play JV. He didn't make varsity because he was a football player. He ended up playing at UVA. But to watch, I'm like, yo, this freshman game is like, it's a varsity game here. What's going on? And so, you know, I modeled it after that. They were on, they used social media. They put certain things out at certain times, and they had it, the marketing part, down to a T.
Mm.
So why not, like, make my program, why not model it after that? And then after time, I've watched other programs do things, and I've done the same things. But that's where it started, and I'm not afraid to say it or anything like that. So.
No, you're definitely on the right path, man. I mean, it's awesome. I see it on social media. I mean, you can see, like, the pickup it gets, man. It's like you're doing great work. Hey, man, thanks for being on the pod, man. We really appreciate it. I want you to plug your social media. So since we've been talking about social media, can you plug it for us and add anything? And is there anything else you would like to add to the show?
Nah, man. I think that we covered a lot. Like, this is the first show, the first interview that I've been on where I've actually got, like, I'm not saying that other interviews didn't have great questions, but I haven't gone in depth like this or been able to go in depth to, like, tell people, like, my story. Like I said, people think I have a silver spoon. And I'm, when I tell you I'm far from that, it's just one of those things where, yeah, man, it's an exciting time. And I appreciate you guys having me on. I hope you invite me back.
Oh, definitely, man.
You know,
I'm trying. We trying to go to that alumni game.
Come on out, man. And like I said, anything that, you know, like anything, like, you know, roundtable discussions or anything like that, I'm always open for whatever you guys are doing. So I appreciate you guys having me on.
Oh, man, absolutely. Definitely. Y'all got a 3-point contest in the alumni basketball thing? I'm down for the 3-point contest.
Always.
Oh, I'm in there, man. I'm in
always.
There. I'm in there. Let's get it. Let's get it.
I'm going to set you up against Dominguez Stevens.
Oh, we can go.
Set you up.
I'll talk trash to a kid. We can go. I'll talk trash to a high school kid. We can go.
He actually in college now. So
oh, okay. It's all good.
You shoot that ball, though, man. I'm going to tell you that.
That's cool.
That was a shoot.
I'm going to talk like Reggie Miller.
Hey, Uncle Drew, man. I got you, Uncle Drew. All
right, brother. Well, we appreciate you, man. Real talk, man. We kept you overtime. Like I said, this is the whole show. We hadn't planned it.
Yeah, hey, we good, though.
Man. You know, that's what happened.
That.
So.
Yeah.
Good work. Great stuff, that. Man. And we'll definitely have you back. So look forward to it.
Okay.
All right, man.
I appreciate you, man.
Have a blessing.
You too.
Appreciate you.
Man, that was awesome. That was Woodrow Wilson, high school basketball, boys high school basketball coach, Angelo Hernandez, man. Amazing, bro. Amazing.
It was an amazing interview, man.
It was, man.
Like you said, he really went into depth about himself and, you know, his path from Philadelphia to North Carolina. So now DC head coach at Woodrow Wilson boys basketball team. So
yep.
It was great. I think it was insightful.
It was, man. He talked about Ishka Bibbles, which, you know, we relate to. You know what I'm saying? Also, I mean, his program, I just liked how, again, I read about it and I saw it too, you know, going on social media and on Twitter. And how, like, he uses social media to, like, one, it's a tool to recruit, you know, and to promote his brand. And also to showcase his kids. I think it's amazing. It's good work, man. It really is. It's a college. He's running, like he mentioned DeMatha in terms of one of the powerhouses in high school basketball. But Justin, you know, you got college programs that, like, don't do it like that. You know what I mean? So it's amazing. It's really a good system that he has going down there.
he dropped some nuggets. So he also dropped the term roundtable discussion. Hey, y'all know me.
I know. When he said that, I thought about you, Ray. I already thought about you, bro. I already knew what you was thinking.
Hey, hey, look. I've been thinking about it for a while. We've had coaches on, and there's a number of topics we can get into, including, like I said, the HBU discussion, HBCU discussion, and all of us can relate to that because, again, of where we graduated school, and you know, just our support for our culture. But anyway,
it is what it is. But
look out for it, people.
It's gonna happen.
The listeners, look out for
it. It's definitely gonna happen.
We'll see. Cult light following is coming.
Hey, to listeners, I know who were expecting Washington football talk or, you know, NFL talk, NBA talk. Sorry, but that conversation was too lit to even go to another topic or another segment. So you can just listen to that next week. And if you're looking for a Washington football team discussion or talk, you can just check us out at All Skins Everything podcast. It'll be coming. It'll be dropping sometime tomorrow or Thursday. So you'll get some Washington football team content out there. So don't worry about it.
Yo, real quick, I'm gonna put us on the spot.
Go ahead, bro.
In terms of interviews, we've interviewed a lot of people lately. Can y'all rank who's the top so far? Because we've gone overtime with. I mean, we went overtime with Monty Williams most recently.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like we're
all three of us. You talking about like all three of us?
Coach.
You talking about all three of us?
Yeah, like where or not just all three of us, just in general. Like where would you rank the interviews at? Because you said it was so lit, you didn't want to.
Yeah,
wanna
man.
It, so.
Monty was. I was.
Giving I think that person. Nah. I'm not gonna answer it. I don't wanna.
Oh, we're
gonna do the coach talk. I'm gonna do the coach talk.
Oh man, we don't do that.
Disrespect the energy and the time that
I feel
any
you.
Of those gentlemen gave us.
That's okay. I feel you. All right, I'll be the cold-blooded assassin then. Shoot, Monty was like my favorite. Like Monty was a beast, dude. Because he talked about where we, you know what I'm saying? We're from this area, you know what I'm saying? And he broke it down. Like he talked about stuff that, you know, we could relate to and he brought it down to our level and if that makes any sense, you know what I'm saying? Like and not even like going hard in terms of his path, but talked about things and his respect for this area, you know what I'm saying, for PG County. And, you know, a guy that's had NBA success, has had coaching success, that kind of like it caught me off. It caught me off guard, to be honest with you. Angelo was amazing. He's definitely, you know, top three in terms of people we spoke to. Walt was cool. I mean, if that cough situation had happened, probably would have been better. but he was great, though, bro. He was great. I mean, I'm going to keep it 100. So Mike was good too. Sweetney was good. Like he was real good. I can't remember. Mike was really good actually. But it was so long ago now. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I feel like I'm living in the moment, right? Because it's more current. So I mean, Angelo's definitely up there. But Mike was really good. Will, you were there. Like, Will, wasn't Mike real good?
Yeah, Mike was great.
It was
Mike
great. Was, like he was great.
Fantastic,
yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, so it's just hard, right? I ain't gonna lie to you. It was hard. Truth be told, to be real with you, I haven't really been caring about time as much. So it's like, I felt like back then I probably cared more about time with like, so if I had the same thought process now that if I had that same thought process back then with Mike, I probably would have had him go overtime too. But I think I was more pressed by cutting him off or something like that. But but definitely Angelo was lit, man. And I liked his genuine stories about life, man. Like I like that. We can all relate to stuff like that in terms of, you know, obviously like mental illness. We talk about it enough on the show, you know what I mean? And even like, you know, having a parent pass away. I mean, I relate to it and it kind of caught me, you know, I understand that thought process, what it can do to you mentally. So, yeah, man, I appreciate his candor.
Everybody's dropped these nuggets. Everybody's who's come on has given something to us in terms of insight that has stood out to us. Like Don Reed, that was Coach Wilson. That caught Wally's attention. My bad.
It's all good.
Lil T, you was a Walt Williams fan. You was a Walt Williams fan growing up, and it showed just in the way you asked your question.
Yeah.
And I just love what Angelo's doing. So I appreciate everybody, honestly. In all seriousness, I appreciate everybody who's taking the time to come on with us. And, you know,
definitely,
to share personal details, Angelo stands out with that one where he really just took it back. And then, of course, Monty Williams sharing his stories about living on St. Barnabas Road and all that good stuff. So I'm grateful, man, and I appreciate you guys and just all the work y'all put in.
Definitely, man.
Trying to get these shows cranked out. So thank you all to listen as well. And I look forward to all this to come in the future.
And that's real talk.
So Angelo just texted me. He said he could have stayed another hour.
Yeah, man. That's what I'm saying. He was dope, man. He was dope. Hey, real talk. I want that 3-point.
We'll get him back. We'll get him back once the, will there be a high school season this year?
Oh, they're going to work around it, man. Don't be surprised. I think they're going to work around it. I'm starting to think they're gonna work around.
Well, if not, then we'll try to. If not, we'll try to get them during the summer when the AAU season.
Oh yeah, bet that. Or we'll get them for the roundtable discussion, right, Ray?
It was just good to have another light skinned brother.
I knew you were gonna say.
Right, baby, let's go. We had another light skinned dude, and I felt like I was on equal footing because usually y'all kind of gang up on me, even though Will T leans to agree with me.
He does. Like, Will T does agree with you.
General, you know, just from a cultural standpoint, man, we even the odds tonight.
Man, I was going to say like a Steph Curry thing with his jump shot, you know what I'm saying? Like another, you know, light-skinned brother with a deep J, you know what I'm saying?
Nah, man, it's Dame, bro. It's Dame now?
Dame ain't light-skinned.
Dame is a deep shooter. He like me a horseback.
All right, man, know we're about to close the show out now, man, because you're getting real ignorant now. You're getting real ignorant. All right, subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, and Google Play.
He called me.
Just search the Urban Sports Day. Shut up, dude. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Day to hit us up on our Urban Sports Day Facebook page. And check out the Urban Sports Scene on Sports Journey at sportsjourney.com. All right, man, again, like we all said, this has been a banging show. We appreciate you all for listening. You've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene
for ages.
Yeah, dig.
Deuces.
Hey, Mega, lead us out, big homie.